Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, jump-starting your day. You know the drill. Put your feet on the floor. Let's get moving. If you're already on the road, be safe. We'll have traffic reports for you later. Ed Norris, so all is well in Sarasota. Is that right?
Well, pretty, yeah. I mean, she's
safety.
Fine. Safety is what matters, so yeah. That was quite the storm, man. Quite the storm. We really got the people south of us got hit really hard, like an hour south. Cape Coral and stuff. We lost our fence. That's down. A couple of trees, downspouts. The house was sturdy. She's safe, so that's what matters.
That's what most of the yeah. most important. She's safe, so good to hear.
Yeah.
Good. I told you, a friend of mine is attending the wedding this weekend in Tampa, and she was told yesterday flights are still on.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty much, for the most part, past the Tampa area.
Yeah, it's heading, I think it's up north now, like past Orlando.
Okay.
So
right. So flights are still on, according to her, according to the, she should be leaving this morning. It's 6 o'clock. So I hope safe travels for she and her family who are headed down there for a wedding. Aaron Judge, 61. We'll talk about that a little bit later. He is now in American League, tied for the American League all-time lead in home runs in one season at 61. But what I want to talk about more with Aaron Judge, not the home run so much, because, again, we're going to get into that. We talk about how batting averages aren't stressed upon like they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Judge is qualified right now for a Triple Crown. He's the Triple Crown leader.
Well, that's what I find so odd. I mean, I know that the home run record is much longer because of the Triple Miggy. Cabrera.
Yeah.
That one 10 years ago. I think 10 years ago.
Yeah, 2012.
But that's an incredible feat. Triple Crown is incredible.
He's leading the league at 313.
I know, yeah.
When does 313 lead? Ed, when we were coming up, you had to bat damn near 350.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, it's like 313 is leading the league. That tells you what batting averages are nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares.
That's why you got to stop looking at them, honestly. I think it's they're going to change where it's, you know, when guys come up to the plate, it may not be the batting average. It may be, you know,
I think it's going that
percentage
way.
Or, you know,
I think it's going that way,
OPS,
Ed.
Yeah.
On base percentage, slugging, and OPS is what it's going to. What's going on, Joe?
What do you think the lowest winning batting title is in MLB history?
MLB history? It was lower than 313 at one point.
306.
Yeah.
I want to say. What do you got?
I'm going to say about, I was going to go 306, but just to counter him, I'll go 305.
Carl Yastrzemski hit 301 in 1968.
Yeah.
Did he win the Triple Crown that year?
Was that 68 or is that 69?
I don't know.
So, look it up real quick.
Yeah. And that was, but am I right, Joe? That was the outlier, though. I mean, that was an odd year.
That's when they raised the mound.
They lowered the mound.
And they, was it raised or
no,
lowered?
They lowered it.
All right.
It was 15 inches and went moved to 10.
And the strike zone was much larger than
that.
Well,
that's when Denny McClain had 31 wins. Bob Gibson had an ERA of 112.
Well, yeah, it was just ridiculous.
It was crazy.
The pitchers were just dominating.
Yeah.
That was the year that the pitchers were doing essentially what Bonds and McGuire were doing at the plate.
Yeah.
just dominating everybody.
About a 112 ERA and pitching like 30 complete games? That's what he did that year.
Yeah.
Yastrzemski's Triple Crown was 67.
67, okay. Yeah, but you know, that's but now it's like it's you don't have that issue. Batting averages, Joe, how important of a stat is batting average? You're a different generation. How important is that stat, really?
Not as important as it once was. I mean, if you have a player, the Orioles don't have a single player that's hitting over 280 right now.
And they shouldn't even be contending. In the years of the past, they shouldn't be contending.
Yeah.
But now it's not a big deal.
I mean, 1988, Tony Gwynn hit 313 and he won a batting title. Okay. And he's one of the best hitters ever. So
named the title after him.
Yeah.
Man, it's just but I'm with you, Ed. It seems to me that this Triple Crown, I'm cheering for him. I know they use a Yankee, and I'm more of a sucker for history than I am anything. I like to say that I witnessed something.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I'm a Metro. I'm supposed to hate the Yankees. I can't hate them. It's just that you got to admire what they've done throughout history. Like the Celtics, you know, and the Canadians, all these iconic teams.
Nope.
No Celtics for you?
Nope. Now you're just making stuff up. Nope.
All right.
if it were the Red Sox instead of the Yankees, I wouldn't have respect for them.
I wouldn't either.
I'm petty. I'm petty that way.
Yeah.
I am so petty that way. If I don't like you, I don't. See, I'm the opposite of you. If you like someone, you'll like them for life. If I don't like you, I will never,
I'm aware,
under any circumstances, yep, like you.
Yep, I'm aware.
That's just how I am. Last night, man, it's just a quiet night for me. Honestly, it was boring. My day is getting back. But you know what? It's getting back to what normal was before the pandemic. The pandemic made me too busy because I had to occupy my mind with stuff. And I got in that habit. Now I'm getting back to what life was before the pandemic. I'm settling down now.
Yeah.
Working out when I get off work. Laying down for me, a little nap. Binge watching shows while I'm on a treadmill. Yeah, that was my life before. I'm kind of getting back to that.
Yeah, it is a little tough to get back. You're getting used to something for 2 years, or however long it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, okay. And then you get the odd thing because you still have to, you know, get an MRI, you have to wear a mask. I forget.
You still got to wear a mask for MRI?
In medical facilities, you still have to wear a mask when you go in, yeah.
Hmm.
Mm.
I should get an MRI on the shoulder, but I won't.
Why?
I don't want to operate.
Oh, well, that's different.
It'll be all right. I cannot make a throwing motion with it, but no one's paying me to throw.
Right.
I can lift. I can do my shoulder exercises. So that's
your arms not over your head.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
There'll be no military presses in your life.
But what do we really lift over our head now?
You don't.
Exactly. You know who told me that years ago? I was Adam Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Working out and I was doing the press. He said, "What do you do over your head?" I said, "What do you mean? Why do you do that?" So just exercise. You don't do anything over your head. Why are you lifting?
Yeah, it really puts a tremendous amount of stress on your shoulders.
He said, I don't know what you're doing right now, but you don't do anything. He said, I don't, I'll do the cables, but in baseball, what am I putting over my head?
No, it's true.
You know, I'm not doing that. I'll do the cables to get my wind up, my motion going to throwing. But that right there, lifting over your head, bad things can happen, man. Turn a lot of stuff up.
Yeah. And then you're like me and you can't put dishes away if they're on the second shelf. It's like, yeah. It's horrible.
Oh, man. But I just getting back to normal, man, it took me a while. Mentally, it's just psychologically, that year and a half, I don't know about you, man, it redefined life for me.
Yeah, I think for everybody, in a lot of ways.
Not in the good ways.
No.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. Ed Norris, Rob Long, jumpstarting your Thursday, which Ed likes to call
Friday Eve.
Thursday Night Football.
Quick enough.
It's a good one tonight. We'll talk about that at 6:30. But on the other side, O's and Red Sox, Birds chasing another goal that Ed and I talked about yesterday because the playoffs are beginning to fade away quickly. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra.
Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Big Bang update from the yard. Brought to you by Valor Home. Get 50% off all roofing materials, no matter the size. Plus, a free upgrade to HDR architectural shingles and make no payments until 2024. Call 833-83-VALOR or online at valorhome.com.
On 105.7 The Fan.
105.7 The Fan.
6:16 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Drive safely, folks. Drive safely out there. As you're headed to work or taking kids to school. Birds lose last night 3-1. Once again, Dean Kramer goes 5 innings, giving up 3 runs and gets the loss. Gives up 2 home runs, but Keegan Aiken makes his return. Keegan Aiken, I don't know if you noticed, Ed, he was demoted to AAA. Which means you have to stay there for 10 days. Mm-hmm. So there was 10 games left when he was demoted. So everyone was saying that's the end of his season because I knew the Orioles would find a way to get him back on the Major League roster. They needed fresh arms. I knew they'd find a way to bring him back. Well, Ramon Urias is down with an injury, so they used the Ramon Urias injury to bring Keegan Aiken back.
Oh.
I didn't know how they would do it. But I knew they would find a way. They would find a way to bring Keegan Aiken back before the end of the season. But I want to talk about Dean Kramer. He has an ERA of 3.17. He's probably going to pitch again this year. 3.17, man. He gives up 3 runs in 5 innings. He loses the game because, again, we have no offense. But if I would have told you before the season began that Dean Kramer, who was absolutely horrible last year, we'll go into his final start, which his next start will be his final if he gets one. We'll go into his final start with a 3.17 ERA. Let me remind you that last year, this guy, his ERA was 7.55 in 13 games. He's pitched 21 games, 20 of them starts, and it's 3.17. Orioles have some decisions to make in this rotation.
Yeah, they do. And that's what I was kind of alluding to yesterday, the day before. You know, everybody's talking about get pitch. What about, we got some pitchers here that you'd like to see stay. Like, I like Bradish a lot from what he's doing.
Yeah,
I
mean, you've been liking him for a while.
I think we have some arms. And Means is coming back. So you do have some decisions to make about who's going to fill out this rotation.
On top of that, Dean Kramer's 8-6.
Yeah.
8-6 with a 3.17 ERA. Close your eyes. That's not Dean Kramer.
Yeah.
That's not him. But it is him.
Apparently it is, yeah.
119 innings. He's given up fewer hits than innings pitched. He's only given up 42 earned runs in 20 starts. I don't know what they did with him. Last year in 13 games, he gave up 17 home runs. This year in 21 games, 10. In 53 and 2/3 innings, he gave up 17 home runs last year. This year, 119 and a third, he's given up 10. He's improved in every statistical category for the Baltimore Orioles this year. He was 0-7 last year.
Wow.
Every statistical category he's improved.
That's what you want. I mean, right? You want to see guys get better, as we always say?
Yeah.
That's some improvement. I mean, and we thought going into the season, this was going to be the biggest problem. It was going to be the pitching staff.
Yeah. Yep. I think, you know, what you see from some of the hitters, you know, last night, why do I like Ryan McKenna?
I like McKenna.
I don't know why I like him, but I like him. He's batting 247, went 2-for-2 last night. I don't think he's a starting outfielder, but I think if he's your fourth outfielder, he's getting 2 or 3 starts a week, filling in for people.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is very... He's necessary.
I think he's very necessary. I think he's talented and he's necessary. You need guys like this. He's a plus defender. He's good on the base pass. He's got some speed. I like him.
And every time he starts, people are rolling their eyes like, man, why is this guy starting? Mm-hmm. So right now the Orioles are 5 games over .500, 80-75. And for me, while many of you may have the race to the wild card, Ed, I have the race to 82. I want 82 wins.
Yeah.
That's my Christmas gift.
Yeah. It's look, we both were optimistic. We thought we'd 70.
Yeah. People thought we were crazy when it then.
Yeah. They have a winning season. That's a big deal. And, it's a high to get manager of the year for then.
He better get it. He should have locked it up already, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
In my opinion, he should have locked it up already. But we'll see. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Anthony Santander goes 0-for-4 last night with 2 strikeouts. But what kind of season has he been the biggest surprise for you, Ed, in terms of his level of success this year?
He's I don't know if the biggest, but one of the biggest. What do you think?
Dean Kramer is up there. There's some guys up there.
Yeah.
I just didn't think Anthony Santander would do 2 things this year. Stay healthy, because he hasn't, hit 30 home runs.
Yeah.
He's one of the biggest surprises for me this year.
See, I always thought he had it.
I did too.
That's why I don't see a huge surprise. He did better than I thought he would, but I always thought he had it. And we both didn't want him to go during the trade deadline. So I don't know if I'd call him a huge surprise, but it's a pleasant surprise he played this well. These multi-home run games have been impressive.
Yes, they have. The starting lineup last night, Ryan McKenna, Ryan Mountcastle, Anthony Santander, Jesus Aguilar, Austin Hayes, Tyler Nevin, Mateo, Tyron Rivera, and Robinson Chirinos. That was the starting lineup. Now, there was some buzz, Joe, about that lineup, am I right?
Buzz? It was way more than that. There was more talk about how awful that lineup was and how no one understands why he puts that out there than the game itself. Dan Connolly had a good tweet that said, "I'm not a betting man, but given all the Twitter disdain for tonight's Orioles lineup against Boston, I get the ugliness of it. The sudden turn on Brandon Hyde, despite a likely 30-game turnaround, you may want to put your house and pension on a reverse lock tonight." Obviously, that didn't happen, but the amount of people calling for his head and asking him to be fired or saying that he's not going to be here next year anyway when we do turn this around, so it doesn't matter. I've never seen people turn against someone so quickly.
Were you shocked? I mean, I didn't like the lineup, but I'll say that. But were you shocked with the level of venom that was thrown at him?
I just think it proves that people aren't... Mark Viviano said it's a good sign that people are this upset about it, which I can understand. But it's just, I think it's very nearsighted because you're getting a lot of people coming back after a long time and not really seeing what they're trying to do.
You know, I don't do this often, Ed, agree with 2 people, because I think sometimes that's being fickle. But in this case, I have to. I agree with what you just said, Joe, that people who are coming back that are new to this, they have no clue as to how we got here.
Right. And all that's been accomplished to get here.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree with Joe. I agree with that 100%. Because I'm in the stadium, and I watch 7,000 to 27,000 quickly and then fall back again and then jump back on. I watched it firsthand. But I wholeheartedly agree with Mark Viviano. You don't want apathy.
That's the worst thing you'd have for your fan base. The worst thing. If people don't care, that's a terrible sign.
So that kind of venom says maybe some misinformed people, but they care. So you got to take the good with the bad. They're misinformed because they haven't watched this thing. I said a month ago, and people were upset with me about it, their number one priority wasn't getting the wild card berth. So that wasn't the number one priority. They're still developing players. They still don't know what they have for next year. And I'm sorry, folks. I want Gunnar Henderson in the lineup every night, too. But you know what I also want for Gunnar Henderson? For him still to have his rookie classification for next year.
Well, look, I think Elias said it, and people are mad at him. Basically, what he said is, in so many words, we're not going anywhere in the postseason anyway. So it's realistically. So
we ain't built that way.
Yeah. So, not yet. This is what they're trying to accomplish.
Not yet. It's mission 1.
Fans are fickle, though. After the Dolphins lost, people calling that for Harbaugh's firing.
Yeah.
Why is he still here? Like, come on. He lost the game. The Ravens made a move recently. How much can it impact them immediately? We'll talk about that at 6:45. But on the other side, Ed and I salivating over this one. Big time Thursday night football game. Let's talk some football, Ed.
Yeah.
Up next on The Fan. 6:32 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed, before we get into Thursday night football, you're going to have to school me on New York Ranger hockey because I found my new favorite player.
There we go.
His name is Keiondre Miller.
Yes.
Why is he my favorite player? Because his name is Keiondre. Who would have thunk it? That there'd be a Keiondre in the NHL.
He's American, so
you got to school me. He's American?
From Minnesota, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of American. You got to school
him and Vinny.
That's my point. You got to school me on New York Ranger hockey because I got to pay attention. All right, Joe, I'm with the Rangers now, man. I'm with the Rangers and Keiondre.
Yeah,
it's my dude.
He's a defenseman for the Rangers.
Does he play a lot?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He plays defense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to have to switch that here school a little bit for me. But I like him. I like him. Big Thursday night football game tonight on Prime. Prime Video, folks, as all Thursday night football games are. Dolphins travel to the Bengals. Bengals 3.5-point underdogs.
At home.
Yeah, and Tua is questionable. Listen, it's questionable. So I wonder if that line changes if Tua is out. But their favorite, 47.5 is the over-under. How do you like this one, Ed?
I like it better if Tua were healthy, if he were playing. I like the Dolphins. Look, this is a total trap game for me. I mean, I should be betting on the Bengals. Everything says you should go with the home team on Thursday nights.
Uh-huh.
Quarterback may not play, but I don't know. I just don't really have a lot of faith in Cincinnati, and I think Miami's really good. The problem is they're not, you know, even as much as I like the Dolphins, they're not going to go 17-0. They're going to lose a couple games here and there. This may be one of them, but I'm gonna stick with Miami. To me, they're just a lot of fun to watch when they're not playing the Ravens.
See, I hope Miami wins. And Teddy Bridgewater may be one of the best backup quarterbacks in the National Football League.
I think he is, yeah.
If not the best. Yeah. You know, I want Miami to win because that means the Bengals will be 1-3. I just think primetime football, short week, on the road, I don't see them beating the Bengals.
Yeah, it's tough. This is, you know, everything points to, you know, if Jeremy were here, he'd be, you know, give me the stink eye. Because this is not the way to be going on this game. You know, home teams have a tremendous advantage on Thursday night. The week is extraordinarily short for the visiting team because they have to travel. You only get a day or two to practice. So you get very little preparation time. That said, we'll see. Although the Bengals only gave him one sack last week. They're not as bad as they were at the beginning of the season. The first two games, he was getting killed. But now, you know, maybe their line is gelling or whatever.
You know what I don't trust in this game, Ed? And no one's talking about it because, again, as Jeremy would say, we're so results-oriented. Dolphins' defense ain't that great. I mean, they gave up only seven points against the Patriots. Ravens shredded them, and they gave up a lot of yards against the Bills.
Yeah, but the Ravens and Bills are two really good offenses.
So are the Bengals.
Yeah.
Yep. That's my point. So are the Bengals. I don't, Josh Allen, 400 yards passing. Zach Moss, 4 carries for 46 yards. Just for some reason, stopped giving them the ball. They had 3 receivers that the Bills with over 70 yards receiving. Singletary, McKenzie, and Diggs. I don't think their offense, I mean, their defense is that good. And I think the Cincinnati Bengals, again, short week on the road, then they can take care of them. Mm. I think Joe Burrow goes off tonight.
He very well might.
He's my MVP of FanDuel, by the way, too.
Is he?
For tonight, yeah.
Yeah.
I got him tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I have – this is me betting with, you know, what I want more than what I believe.
I'm with you. I want the Dolphins to win. This is the first game I probably wanted them. I don't like Dolphins. Just never have.
Yeah.
But I want them to win this game because I'm afraid because the Ravens have such a tough matchup Sunday. I don't know how that game's going to end.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough out, man. It really is. It's a tough game on their schedule this year.
You think?
I think so. Yeah.
I don't think they'd match up well against the Bills because with the lack of pass rush and the way the secondary is getting shredded, I mean, now you're facing one of the most potent passing attacks in the league with a good defense. Bills are like top five defense this year.
I don't want to go too far into that game till tomorrow, but the Bills are hurting the secondary.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Lamar Jackson can pick that apart.
Then there was two safeties.
Yes.
Yeah.
And another guy who's questionable.
Yeah.
Lamar can pick. It's a different Lamar now.
Mm-hmm.
Stand in the pocket and pick him apart.
Yep.
So I think that's the one reason I believe this is going to be a shootout in Baltimore.
I think everybody, the over's in the 50s.
Yeah. It's just going to be.
So Vegas thinks it's going to be shootout.
It's going to be a lot of points up on the board. We probably don't need to say shootout in Baltimore, though.
No.
Let's not say that. Let's use something else. A high scoring game. A slugfest.
Your favorite, a barn burner.
A barn burner. There you go. It's not. There are two of them. The barn burners and slobber knockers.
Right.
Barn burners are high scoring. Slobber knockers are low scoring with the defense just throwing everybody around.
Yep.
That's how you categorize them. Let's go to Greg in Baltimore. What's up, Greg?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I hear you're with the Dolphins even without Tua, but I wouldn't count on Joe Burrow. I know you say you have him on your fantasy. He has a fighting spirit, and the Bengals have a losing record, but I wouldn't count them out. And I just want to mention something about fantasy football. Josh Allen is my quarterback, and I'm going against somebody head to head that has Lamar Jackson. I want Josh Allen to score as many points as he can. I want Lamar Jackson to do well. But, as a Ravens fan, I want the Ravens to win. I just want to point that out.
Greg, you can't have – if you're really a Ravens fan, you don't start Josh Allen.
Well, I mean, I'm about winning. I've been an athlete, I'm about winning. I'm a Ravens fan.
That's
first.
Negative.
I want the Ravens to win. That's just how I put it. But
Greg, that's very negative. That's very negative. I don't like that. That's
I'm a Ravens fan.
Negative, my friend. But we about being positive here.
Yeah, that's us.
How can you be a Raven fan and start Josh Allen, Joe? What is up with that? The hell's going on in here? Greg is like the most positive caller there is.
Fighting spirit, man.
And he wants Josh Allen.
Should be doing a Modelo commercial.
He wants Josh Allen to score as many points as possible for the sake of his fantasy team?
Well.
Greg, you are suspended. Greg, suspended. Now, what's up with these uniforms tonight, Joe?
All whites, man. Ed, I can't believe you haven't mentioned this yet.
I didn't know.
Oh, man, look it up. They are possibly the best jerseys in the league now.
Who?
The Bengals have all white and black.
I love that uniform, yeah.
Yes, that's the first time they're using them in a regular season game.
Oh, I want to change my pick now.
That's still allowed.
I didn't know that. I saw that uniform in the preseason. That's a sharp look. White Tigers. They're white helmets, too, right?
Yeah, everything's all white. All white and black.
Damn. But
nobody wants to see that.
Yes, they do. It's sharp. It's really sharp.
You have that.
They're coming out at home in their all-white uniforms.
What are these, snow leopards?
Snow tigers. White tigers.
Yeah, like Siegfried and Roy.
Right.
You and your uniform.
I love uniforms.
I know you do. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Aaron Judge, do you yawn when you hear that? The whole home run pursuit? We'll talk about that at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, does JPP's presence alone boost the Ravens' pass rush? Hopefully, right here on The Fan. 6:46 in the a.m., that's John Harbaugh talking about Jason Pierre-Paul. Now, Pierre-Paul, who will wear number 4 for the Ravens, it has him as playing one game already. He didn't play Sunday, did he? He wasn't out there Sunday, was he? Why does Pro Football Reference have game 1 down here for Baltimore? If you look at Pro Football Reference, it has number 4 games 1.
Did he dress?
I didn't think he did.
I didn't think he did. Why is he wearing number 4? God.
It's all ass backwards.
It really is.
So, anyway, in 2021, for your team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he played 12 games, only had 2.5 sacks. But keep in mind, 2020, when he won the Super Bowl, he came off a year where he was a Pro Bowler, and he had 9.5 sacks in 16 games. 8.5 before then, 12.5, 8.5, 7. Those are his seasons. Ed, he was hurt last year. Yeah, he was. Yeah. I'm more excited about Jason. Who did we get last year, pass rusher?
It wasn't Houston. It was the year before.
Yeah, yeah, Justin Houston. Last year? I'm more excited to get Jason Pierre-Paul than I was when we got Justin Houston, to be honest with you.
I was excited about Houston.
I was excited about Houston. Yeah. I'm more excited about Pierre-Paul. I just think Pierre-Paul, he's coming off a year. But I would want you all to hurt your shoulder and try to throw offensive linemen off of you.
Yeah.
Do it.
You can't.
Go ahead. You can't do it.
You can't.
And if I'm an offensive lineman, I don't care what side you line up on. If you line up on the side that's healthy, I'm still pushing you back to where you got to use the other arm.
You can't. You don't realize how much your shoulder's involved in everything until you lose it.
Exactly.
And then it's like, whoa, you can't open a door. You can't lift anything. You can't lift a boat. You can't lift anything. You certainly can't throw people off you.
It used to take me 10 minutes to shave my head.
Yeah.
Now it takes me 25.
Dude, it's and I always have a spot over here on the side
right under
I
the
can't
ear.
Reach. Yep.
Yeah, right under the ear because I can't terrible. Go over there. My other arm is not that flexible.
Yep.
So you know, you start throwing 300-pound offensive linemen and 220-pound running backs off of you trying to use your shoulder to get them off of you. You can't do it. For those of you that you know, when we talk about injuries, you just, whatever. You couldn't do what they did if you were 100%.
No.
It's tough. It's not easy. It's not easy.
I'm excited to see him. He could be the change we're looking for.
I'm very excited. He had four pass defenses last year. 12 games he played, 12 games he started. 31 combined tackles, 5 quarterback hits. I'm good with it. 3 tackles for losses. Keep in mind, his Pro Bowl year, without the injury, in 4 more games, he had 7 tackles for losses.
Yeah.
So he wasn't that far off the tackles for losses. I hope he's playing on Sunday. I think if he can be a presence, you have him out there, you have Houston out there, you know, you have Oway out there, you got some pass rushers out there. You put a combination of the two of them out there at the same time, and all of a sudden, maybe, Ed, just maybe, you have something.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm hoping. You know how it is. They can't double everybody. So if you have somebody who's making progress, get some penetrations in the backfield, they're going to pay attention to him. And that may free up somebody else. And maybe, maybe Oway has a better day. He just doesn't. I tell you what, his lack of football experience is becoming pretty clear.
Who, Oway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got such natural physical gifts, but he just doesn't really know how to play the position. His pass rushing techniques are not great. He did a spin move and didn't move. He tried a spin move and it was the exact same spot he was standing. It's not a pirouette, man. He's supposed to spin around the guy. It was funny.
You talk about his, going back to Jason Pierre-Paul, you want a success story, Ed?
Mm-hmm.
He was drafted 15 overall back in 2010. Drafted out of South Florida. You know when he started college? College of the Canyons. College of the Canyons, which I think is a junior college, if I'm not mistaken. Guess what other Ravens started off there? Marquise Brown.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Like Last Chance U or something?
I don't know, but I think it's a JUCO. It's in California.
Gotta be, yeah.
So, again, I'm happy to have him here. Baltimore Ravens desperately, desperately need a pass rusher, and he could be exactly what you need. Moving forward, they have not had a consistent pass rusher, in my opinion, consistent pass rusher since Terrell Suggs. Now, you could argue that Matthew Judon was that guy, but Matthew Judon just didn't put up those pass rusher numbers at Suggs until they went to the Patriots.
Yeah.
So they have not had a guy who was productive as a pass rusher, we should say, since Terrell Suggs. So I'm happy to get one back, or one who can be productive.
I am too. It's been such a long time. It really has been since Suggs, because Judon was good, but I felt he never reached the potential he's hit now. And Za'Darius was the same thing. I always liked Za'Darius Smith. He goes to Green Bay, and he's double-digit sack every year.
Now, let me ask you this. I mean, a lot of people have blamed, my buddy Che is one of them, blamed Eric DaCosta for the lack of talent on the defensive side of the football, saying that now they're going cheap, trying to make up for the deficiencies. When's the last time the Ravens had an offense like this?
Never.
Who drafted most of those guys? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why. I mean, this is the way it is, though.
He's not the defensive general manager. He's the general manager.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he put together a team that, yeah, they'll give up some points, but that offensive side of the ball will put up some points.
A lot of points.
So now you got young guys on offense. Maybe spend the next 2 or 3 years building a defense now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll have 2 or 3 years where they're all together. You start restart it all over again. You can't. This offense had. Think about what we were 5 years ago offensively. Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Seriously. No confidence in them whatsoever. None.
Offense was when you went to the bathroom. Or if you're at the stadium, you go to concessions.
Yep.
Well, you can't go to concessions because they were 3 and out. You'd miss something. You missed the defense. So I think he's done a phenomenal job building a potent offense that can win games. Now he has to build a defense. You got a salary cap. Can't have both ways. So I don't put, but I know many of you, I was told that we were afraid to call Eric DaCosta out.
Who said that? Your friend?
A listener.
Oh, listener.
We were afraid to call, well, yeah. We were afraid to call Eric DaCosta out. I'm not afraid to call anybody out. No one.
I mean, if I thought he did a bad job, I would. I think he's really good.
I do, too. I think what he's done on the offensive side of the football, you know, has been sensational.
He's turned second-string kickers at this players from other teams. I mean, think of the things he's done, you know, with other GMs. I feel like he should be wearing a mask because he robs them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who, you know, where these folks are. These probably people aren't really, they're not students of the game, but they don't really pay attention.
And they've got some injuries on defense when the guys come back. You know, I think he stole the kid out of Michigan in the second round. When he comes back, I think next year he's going to be a problem.
People think he was as good as Hutchinson.
Yeah.
I mean.
He just got hurt.
Yeah.
Lucky us. Let's go on the road and get Gary. What's going on? Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you doing, fellas?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call. I didn't know if it was too late to talk about defense, but
nope.
I got a lot of faith in this Baltimore organization and the way they do things in that front office and how they react. I don't think we're going to suck for long. I think our defense is going to start firing on all cylinders. I mean, we got 4 takeaways last week, and 3 of them were in the fourth quarter. I know pass rush is a concern, but I think we're going to get there. I really do.
I don't know.
I don't know how you guys feel about that.
I like your optimism, to be honest with you, but I don't know if we'll get there this year. And I'm okay with that. I don't know whether we'll get there this year, Ed, defensively. I love his optimism. But unless guys get back healthy and do the right thing, I don't know if we'll get there this year defensively.
Yeah, I don't know either. I just don't think they have the horses this year. Because it's not just, you know, it's one thing to have a pass rush that's lacking, but our linebackers are making tackles 5 to 10 yards downfield.
Yes.
They're not effective against the run.
410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Folks, I don't know if you've heard this, but it's a very, very ugly, ugly story involving Brett Favre. You may think you know, but Favre for Hope, which is his charitable organization, there's more to it than we first originally
heard. Oh, it's something.
It's something, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to let you know about it on the other side right here on The Fan.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.